If you have your copy of God's Word today, we'll be in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning there in your copy of the Scriptures, I will go ahead and read the passage for us, and then we'll go before our Father's throne of grace and prayer once more this morning. So beginning in Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1, hear now the word of the living and the true God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today to be able to worship you. To worship you for what you have given us in your Son, for you have given us salvation and life, that which we could never attain to, earn, or merit. Please humble us this morning as we seek to study your word. Please grow us in grace and grow us in the love and adoration of you. For it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, there are many times that we as human beings miss the point. We get so absorbed into what is of highest importance to us that we miss what is of true importance. This can happen in our work, our studies, and in our conversations or relationships with others. My pastor and Old Testament professor uses a particular example that happens often within Old Testament seminary classes in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis contains a plethora of the foundational doctrines, details, and stories of our faith as believers in Christ. This book speaks about the wonders of the work of creation that are performed by the triune God. It speaks about the glorious mysteries of men and women being created in the image of God. It reveals the purpose of mankind to do everything in pursuit of glorifying God with all one's heart, soul, mind, and strength. It speaks about the entrance of sin into the world and into the hearts of men and women as a result of the fall. One learns about God's disposition towards sin, the reality that God hates sin and must punish it, evidenced by the tale of Noah and the ark. The book of Genesis reveals the covenantal purposes of God towards his people, in the covenant of redemption, promising salvation to all who would believe in the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. The covenant with Noah, wherein God promises his common grace to all the inhabitants of the earth, while all at the same time revealing the penalty due to man for killing his fellow man. In the covenant with Abraham, we see the salvation of God pictured in the sign of circumcision, and the promise of God to make a nation that is more numerous than the stars in the sky. In the story of Joseph, we see how God brings good out of the evil performed by man, as God is faithful to his children, bringing them through whatever his will has ordained. These are marvelous stories and doctrines which theologians, pastors, and laypeople have studied, pondered, and plumbed the depths of for years on end. And yet in the midst of all these wondrous realities, there are many students and studious theologians who, for lack of a better way of putting it, oftentimes miss the point. For instance, take the story of God creating the world and all that is in it out of nothing. An amazing story that reveals the wonders of our God and his work. Many times, however, when this particular topic is brought up in a classroom, there's more time spent debating how many hours were in a day at the time of creation, or whether time was created at this point in history. A rather strange amount of focus is spent debating and pondering what Moses could have meant when he said that the earth was created in 7 days. Was the author using the word for day as a way to describe the ages creating the world, or simply as a framework for us to apprehend the tasks that God undertook? This, my friends, is the very definition of missing the point. For in Genesis 1, what we are speaking of describes to us the very creation of all that exists by the word of God's power. And yet upon hearing this, many are caught up in the meaning of the word day, stressing about all of its possible meanings, all the while forgetting the fact that the passage is not trying to explain to us how time works. Rather, it is trying to share the amazing fact that the supreme Lord of creation has created all things by the word of his power, showcasing his awesome splendor and glory to all of the creation. To think upon anything else, brothers and sisters, would be to miss the point entirely. The Apostle Paul is relating to us a similar concept to us in our passage today in Colossians 3, as he is teaching the Colossians how they are to live as new creations, those who have put off the old world and their sinful flesh, and who have been raised with Christ in the newness of life. Similar to the students in the example I gave, the Colossians were being tempted to miss the point of their status in Christ. They were being told by various false teachers that they had to somehow go back into the shadows of the Old Testament, go back to following the old laws, sacrifices, customs, and rituals that prefigured the Christ to come, but that have now passed away. The Colossians were being tempted to fall back into trusting in the shadows, missing their very point entirely, which was to point to Jesus Christ. One commentator sums up the goal of Paul in this section very well. He says, Paul's goal is to make believers realize that they should seek heavenly things and not old earthly things, because they have died to the old world and have been raised with Christ as a new creation in a new heavenly world. Believers have died with Christ. Therefore, as we have learned, believers are not to be subject to the old way of doing things. Neither should they be subject to the distorted laws and commands of the false teachers that they are constantly encountering. In addition to this, believers are not to be subject to the lie that following the laws, rituals, and practices that foreshadowed Christ can somehow make them more acceptable to God, or somehow give them more of his tabernacling presence. For it is only faith in Jesus Christ and in the believer's union and identification with Christ and Christ alone that can give believers the joys of the presence of God with them spiritually, something that we as believers now experience due to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Paul is continuing upon his idea from the end of chapter 2, where he shows that because believers have died with Christ, they should no longer be subject to the old way of doing things. It is on this same basis, the basis of the believers dying in Christ, that believers are now raised. For all those who die with Christ in his death are raised with him in his resurrection. Believers, now being identified with the resurrection of Christ, can now seek the things that are above and set their minds on the things that are above. Glorious realities that believers get the privilege of partaking in. This then is the point of the verses which we are studying today, to seek the things that are above. Everything that Paul says in these four verses helps to support and uphold this point that he is making to the believers in Colossae. And it is this point that we will study as we look at his exhortation to the believers in Colossae and then his explanation of his exhortation. So firstly, then, we must look at his exhortation to the believers in Colossae. Read with me once again verses 1 through 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Once again, we can see that the therefore at the beginning of verse 1 indicates that Paul is continuing his flow of thought from the middle of chapter 2. The Colossians have died and been raised with Christ. Therefore, they are not to submit to the old, outmoded, and foolish way of doing things, following the shadows of Christ rather than the substance of Christ, which has been given to them in his life, death, and resurrection, and now through the gift of his Holy Spirit. Paul is outrightly assuming the reality of the Colossians' resurrection. What Paul is saying is that since you have been raised with Christ, now do this. In other words, what Paul is exhorting the believers to do is to do the natural outflow of their resurrection in Jesus Christ. Seeking the things that are above, where Christ is the natural outcome of their being raised with Christ in his resurrection. And yet Paul is not only assuming the reality of their being resurrected, but he's also challenging the Colossians with this statement. If you read carefully, Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised. In other words, Paul is not only describing what the natural outflow of the Colossians' status in Christ is, but he's also challenging them to examine their hearts, considering their faith in Christ and whether or not they have truly been raised in Jesus Christ. in speaking of this resurrection, it must be noted that Paul is not talking about the fact that the final resurrection has somehow taken place yet. Rather, he is relaying to the believers, those who are in Christ, that they have been spiritually raised with Christ, as they now await the full consummation of the return of Christ. Being spiritually raised with him when the final resurrection takes place at his return. In this passage, however, Paul is speaking to the Colossians about the results, the outflow of their spiritual resurrection in Christ. In other words, those who have been raised with Christ must and will seek the things that are above. They will set their minds on the things that are above. Because believers are truly resurrected in Jesus, their old way of thinking about things and doing things that was once filled with sin and all manners of immorality has passed away. Now that believers are raised in Christ, they can now follow Christ with all their hearts, souls, minds, and strength. They can serve God truly, and they can truly desire the glory of God in all that they do, because they have been made like Christ. Believers are raised spiritually now and will one day be resurrected in the same way as their Savior, undergoing physical death in order to be raised perfectly by Christ in their sanctified bodies. This is the new reality of life for believers. Being raised with Christ means that they must pursue things that are above, that they must place their mind on things that are above. And why must their minds and hearts be set upon things that are above now that they have been raised with Jesus Christ? This is because heaven is where their ultimate hope and home is. Their ultimate hope is in Jesus Christ the righteous, the one who has redeemed them, taking away their sin, their misery, and giving them the new life that only he can provide. It is also where their home is, for the citizenship of the believer is where their king is dwelling. And Paul goes even deeper than this in his description of what the Colossians are to keep their minds focused upon. For the Colossians are to keep their minds focused upon the place where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul is alluding here to Psalm 110:1, which tells us, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." This psalm is the most quoted one in the New Testament, revealing King David pointing to the King of Kings, the one who sovereignly rules over the entire world and who is accomplishing his role in the throne room of God for his people. Later in the psalm, we also read of the great conquests of the coming king, who will have full dominion over all of his enemies. This psalm's applications are helpful to Paul's point in this passage. He's alluding to it for a reason. Remember, the Colossians were being bombarded with false teachings from those who worshipped angels and who taught that heavenly experiences were desperately needed for one to truly experience the presence of God within their hearts and in their lives. Paul is using this allusion to show the Colossians that they don't need any man-made formulations or supposed spiritual experiences in order to truly experience the spiritual presence of Jesus Christ within their lives. For they have all the spiritual experience and privilege that could ever be asked for due to their union with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who through his Spirit lifts up the souls of believers into the heavenly places with him, where we experience the joyous experience of salvation and the fellowship with our dearest Savior. Our Savior is the one who has begun his messianic rule over all things in his life, death, and resurrection. Paul is saying that he is greater than all the false teachers that the Colossians are encountering. He is greater than all their many theories and postulations about worshiping angels and having to have some sort of mystical experience in order to truly experience God's presence. For God is reconciling all things in Christ, bringing all things to utter completion in him. Paul is calling upon the Colossians to keep their hearts and minds focused upon the kingship of Jesus Christ over all things, realizing that as those who have been raised with Christ, they now have the privilege of being identified with him. Their lives then must be oriented around Christ and Christ alone, rather than what any false teacher or false teaching that may come their way may say. To summarize Paul's point, to seek the things that are above in our hearts and minds is to set our life in full-orb devotion to Jesus Christ. For there is no experience or set of experiences that one can undertake in order to add to or enhance the presence of Christ with his people. Rather, all that is needed is union and identification with Jesus Christ, who has raised his people from the dead in him. This is the point that Paul is making to the Colossians, and it is an exhortation that we still must heed for ourselves within the church today. Though we may not be facing false teachers who are calling us to worship angels or to come up with crazy visions of the heavenly temple in order to better experience God's presence, we do face the challenges of living for Christ in a sinful world. How often is it in our lives that we ponder the fact that we have been raised with Jesus Christ in his resurrection? How often do we think about what our lives should look like now that we have been raised up with Christ in his resurrection? Are our lives completely absorbed around Christ? Is he our all in all? How often do we seek the things that are below rather than seeking the things that are above? You do not have to be seeking to follow the Old Testament shadows as the Colossians were to be seeking that which is below. For us, what is it that we seek for our joy or our fulfillment? What is it that we seek for our pleasure? Do we overly invest ourselves in the things of the world, in our work, in relationship, in sports, money, sex, or notoriety? Or do we seek to add things to our faith or to our practice of faith that we think will enhance our experience or somehow bring more of God's favor to us, thinking that if we do more good things, then God will somehow love us more? Or if we give more of our tithes and offerings, then we will experience the grace of God more? Or if we pray more, then we will get to experience the joy of God's presence more fully. And God will love us the more that we do, right? No, this is the very point that Paul is making to us. We have been raised up with Christ due to our union with him in his death and his resurrection. So now that the natural outflow of our lives is to seek the things that please Christ in all that we think, say, and do, and will naturally pursue Christ above all else because of the work of his Spirit within us, which is why our effort is not what merits our status of being raised with Christ. Rather, it is the work of his Spirit in raising us from our dead, cold, lifeless states that produces within us the ability to seek the things that are above. And so then, what is it that we must do? Well, as Paul tells us, we must seek the things that are above. We must have our entire lives be completely absorbed and revolved around Jesus Christ and his glory. And yet we do this not to earn the presence or love of God in our lives, but we do this because of his work within us, producing within us hearts that seek to glorify him. This is how we stay away from any form of works righteousness or legalism, for we are called to joyously live in the light of our salvation, completely secure in Christ, following him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is a message for all of us, for all believers in all times, whether we are strong, mighty, weak, or heavy laden. This message is for you. You have been raised up with Jesus Christ. There is nothing that occurs that can change this status. Rather, it is because you have been transformed into someone who has been raised from spiritual death that you now can live a life that is filled with true joy and true peace, the kind that the world can never offer, due to the work of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Rest in these truths, dear believer. Pursue the things of Christ within these truths, for they are for you and for your encouragement and for your sustenance. Hear these words, these living words from the Word of God, and believe them. Moving forward, after we have looked at the exhortation that Paul has given believers regarding how they should be setting their mind on the things that are above, we must now look at Paul's explanation for this exhortation in verses 3 through 4. Verses 3 through 4 read, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Paul begins his explanation by showing the result of the believer's death to that which is old, and they're being raised with Christ. The believer's life is hidden with Christ in God because they have died to their old ways and their old natures. Likewise, the believers' lives are hidden with Christ in God because they have been raised in Him. This resurrection life of believers is the greatest privilege that could ever be given to human beings. Because of their union with Christ in resurrection life, believers are to forsake that which is below, that which exalts sin and Satan, and instead pursue Christ and all that is in Him for His glory. This idea of hiddenness for the believers carries with it great importance, as believers are called to live out their reality of spiritually dwelling with Christ in His spiritual heavenly temple, while at the same time still walking out their God-ordained life here on earth, as they await the full consummation of their hope. One commentator puts the idea of this verse very helpfully when he says that, accordingly, the major point in Colossians 3 is that believers must not live by sight, but rather by faith in their resurrected identity with Christ in the heavenly temple. They must continue to trust that their hope has been laid up in heaven, where their inheritance is, even though they cannot see it or feel it at present. Such trust will protect them from false teaching. This is in contrast to the false teachers who live by sight. This is a definition of what it means for believers to live by faith and not by sight. Believers are to live faithfully in their new identity in Jesus Christ their Lord as they experience the joys of resurrection life, forsaking all in the world that would seek to draw their affections away from Jesus. This is why the believers in Colossae must now flee the false teaching that they are encountering, which provides empty promises of spiritual fulfillment based on their actions or their experiences. Whereas on the other hand, Jesus Christ gives believers all of the treasures of spiritual fulfillment in life because of His union and communion with them. This is their treasure, and this is their protection against all of the different attacks that sin, Satan, and the world will most definitely bring their way. As Paul is continuing to relay to the believers why they should be seeking Christ and the things that are above and not the things of the world, he shows the believers that they are emulating Christ in their being hidden in Him. And just as Christ is hidden now in the heavenly places, so too are believers hidden in Christ spiritually in the heavenly places, until the consummation of all things, when Christ will be fully revealed as the greatest treasure of all, the one containing all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is very similar to the way in which the reality of Christ was hidden or shrouded in the times of the Old Covenant and then revealed in His incarnation upon the earth. So too, now that Christ is risen, His glory is hidden from unbelievers until one day He will be revealed in the fullness of His glory when He comes to judge the living and the dead at the end of all things. And at that day, believers will be raised up with Christ in glory, since they have no other identification than being in Jesus Christ. Christ is now all that they are and all that they need. The reality for believers is that they will never exist in a sphere outside of Christ ever again, for they are identified with Him and in Him. This is the encouragement that the Colossians so desperately need as they seek the protection and guidance of the Lord as they endure a heavy onslaught of false teaching that's so prevalent amongst them in their community at this time. Paul is calling upon the Colossians to live the resurrected life, to remember that their life is hidden and protected in Christ their Lord, who will one day fully complete the resurrection process that He has begun in them spiritually in this life. These are the supporting reasons for why the Colossians are to seek the things that are above, all the while forsaking that which is below, why the Colossians below that which is of sin and of the world. And we too in our lives can greatly benefit from these encouraging supporting points of His exhortation. For we too are living in a world that is sick with sin. It's no secret we are living in a world that hates Christ and all that has to do with Him. A world that hates the commands of God. A world that murders, that despises, that destroys. A world that is in rebellion. Even in the sphere of the supposedly religious, we encounter false teachings that rebel against Jesus Christ and His Word, spouting all sorts of evil teachings that contradict the teachings of our Scriptures. There is so much opportunity for us to fall and to be dragged into pits of sin and false teaching that we can often be overwhelmed and heavy laden by the weight of it all. In the face of this, the Word of God gives us our solace. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We have been given the gift of resurrection life in Him. We get to experience life with Christ in the heavenly places due to our spiritual union with Him, communing with Him by His Spirit who leads us, guides us, and enables us to live for Him in all that we say and all that we do. And even more than this, no matter what pains we may face in this life, no matter the trials, no matter the false teachings, no matter the onslaught of sin or of Satan, we know that we will one day be raised with Jesus Christ in glory. He will complete what He has started. As He is sanctifying us today, He will one day be glorifying us. This is why we must seek the things that are above. For above is where our hope is and where our security is. For our hope and our security is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Our lives are hidden with Him in God. This is our hope, our peace, and our rest. Rest in these truths, for they are given to you for your endurance, through whichever storms and trials the world will bring your way, as you await the final consummation of all things. And this life brings with it many toils, tribulations, and hardships. There are many distractions that are constantly seeking our attention. Our lives are constantly getting busier, work is constantly demanding more, and there is little time for any rest or any peace. We are constantly growing more and more consumed with the tasks we have to complete, or the chores that have to be finished, or the places we have to be. The world itself seems to be crumbling as we hear news of wars, pain, cruelty, and all sorts of sin that consumes those that are within the world. We taste this pain, hardship, and distraction even within our own lives. What is our solace to be? How are we to endure through the many trials of this life? How are we to continue pressing on? For you, believer, the outlook is brighter than that of anyone else in the entire world. For you have been raised with Jesus Christ. You have been united to Him. There is no hardship, pain, or toil that can change this status of your being united to Jesus Christ, your Lord. Rest in this. Keep your mind on these things that are above. For it is in keeping your mind on the things of Christ your Savior, as He continues to sanctify you and grow you more and more into His image as your head and Savior, that the outflow of your life will continue to look more and more Christ-like in all that you say and all that you do. This is, in fact, yet another reason for our hope and solace. For Christ will finish the good work that He has begun within us. For our lives are hidden with Christ in God. There is nothing that can rip your life away from this hiddenness, from this union with Jesus Christ, your Lord. This is confirmed by the very words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here again the words from our very passage this morning. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Brethren, we have died to our sin. We have died to the world. We have died to the old man because of the work of Christ within us and within our hearts. And this is what spurs us on to serve Christ with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. And this is what gives us solace through the most painful offerings of this present world. So trust in your Redeemer. Rest in your union with Jesus Christ. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hear these words and believe them, people of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come humbly, for you have hidden us with Christ our Savior in you. You have saved us from the death which we deserved due to our sin, and you sacrificed Christ in our place so that we could place our trust in Him and be glorified with you one day, eternally, forever. Help us to live in the realities of these truths. Help us to set our minds on the things that are above as we are constantly seeking to not be bogged down by the things of this world. Help us to trust in Christ over all things and for all times. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen.